edition of Rebel Rise Live. I'm David Johnson, along with your co-hosts Michael Quirk and Dave Bevan. It is cold in Oxford. No snow this morning, but perhaps some coming towards the weekend. Kind of a dreary morning in God's country, so to speak, and I guess that's fitting after what we all witnessed at the pavilion last night. Talking about adding insult to injury, the Rebels already down a couple of guys, and then Stephon Moody pulls up hobbled towards the end of the game, and the lack of his presence at the end of that game, Michael, and you were there, probably cost Ole Miss an impressive resume-building victory last night. Your thoughts on the Rebels' overtime loss to South Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, Ole Miss controlled the game throughout. And once Stephon Moody went down with just over 5 minutes left, they were up 11. And the team really had no idea what to do from that point on, already missing Martavius Newby and Sebastian Saiz. And Moody came back, he checked back in, and then he just didn't have anything explosive to him. He didn't take a shot the rest of the game, and it was sort of strange to see a non-explosive Stephon Moody out there. And after the game, Andy Kennedy said that the trainers did not find a dent in his hamstring, which is a good sign, but that he was being evaluated further. So we should know how much longer he'll be out. But it was, like you said, it was a big opportunity that was sort of squandered. But the team really had, they're so used to Moody not only being the finisher, but also facilitating the offense. And so you had a lot of young guys in there, like Fitzpatrick Dorsey and Terrence Davis, getting a lot of late minutes. And even Mark Camus Hyman played.
And Mark Rowe, and how close are they, this group, to really kind of let loose of the wheel as far as NCAA hopes go, as far as trying to stay in the upper echelon of the SEC? This weekend's game in Starkville, it's not going to be easy, particularly if there are still health concerns with this Ole Miss basketball team going into their rivals' arena. I mean, they're in danger of perhaps dropping their fourth straight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always tough to win in Starkville, no matter how bad Mississippi State is or how good Ole Miss is. It's always hard for Ole Miss to win down there. And right now, as Ole Miss sits at 2-4, falling to 2-5 would be it wouldn't be a death sentence, but you're walking down death row at that point.
Yeah, it seems like just yesterday, Dave, we were talking about this being your typical Ole Miss Andy Kennedy basketball season, in that, you know, they're probably going to go into the SEC tournament having to win one or two games to kind of solidify a spot in the big dance. But my, how things have changed within 24 hours. This may not be your typical Ole Miss basketball season under AK. These guys may fall short of getting to the NCAA tournament. Now, with a healthy Moody, I think they can play with anyone. But without him, well, you saw that in the final minutes and the overtime period last night of what this team looks like. To me, it just doesn't look like there's another dependable scorer behind Stephon Moody.
You're right, but and just to, you know, add on to back to what Michael was saying, you know, and, you know, mentioning the having to win one or two games in the SEC tournament. Last night was a big opportunity to have a big-time win on your resume, which would go into that resume as bracketologists are looking at it, you know, to get into that bubble, so to speak. And, you know, getting into the you've got to have those quality wins, and the non-conference schedule up to this point, you know, the quality of the wins have not, so to speak, been in there. So, you know, that now they're going to have to look at the heart of their SEC stretch, get some quality wins in there to get into that picture.
Well, the Rebels playing in the new Pavilion at Ole Miss. And a little bit later on, not long from now, in just a few minutes, we'll have an Ole Miss basketball legend, Coolidge Ball, joining us here for the Rebel Rise Live podcast, and we're excited about that. And to offer his perspective on what the new arena could mean to Ole Miss basketball and his perspective on this basketball team. I talked to Coolidge a little bit about that earlier this morning, and he has some interesting thoughts on this group right now. And, you know, I guess if we're looking for a silver lining the last night's games, Moody joins the 1,000-point club, the quickest ever for a Rebel to score 1,000 points. And Coolidge Ball, who, as I said, will be joining us here very shortly, he's a member of that 1,000-point club. But, Michael, Moody scoring his 1,000th point last night inside the Pavilion. You know, I know they put it up on the big screen. What was the crowd reaction like? What was the appreciation level for Stephon Moody last night?
Well, unfortunately, it was pretty short-lived because he reached it, and the very next offensive possession down the floor was when he threw the outlet pass to, I believe it was Davis. It was an alley-oop lay-in for Davis. And that's when Moody actually hurt his hamstring. So it was a little short-lived, but right when he got to that plateau, there was a standing ovation. Everyone's really appreciative of what Moody means to this team and what he's done for Ole Miss and his one-plus years in Oxford. And it's, like I said, it was a great moment when it happened, but it was a little unfortunate that it had to be really so short-lived.
Well, you know, I've got to say this. There are generally years, and I think you've pointed this out before, most years Andy Kennedy has a score. He's not afraid to let a guy shoot, if this guy can shoot, such as Moody. But it's hard for me, and correct me if I'm wrong, to go back on memory and find a team, even when Marshall Henderson was playing here, that is so dependent on one single player. And, you know, you got to wonder eventually if somebody's going to figure out a way to slow Moody down, to stop Moody from scoring his 24-plus points a night. But I mean, does anything register with you as far as another team that depended so much on that one single person, like it looks like this Ole Miss team does?
I really can't think of any. Under Kennedy, you had Sanders and Abernathy, and then you had Chris Warren, who is flanked by Zach Graham and Trevor Gaskins and David Huertas. And Marshall Henderson had Murphy Holloway and Jarvis Summers and Reginald Buckner and a lot of different options on offense, whether it's scoring in the post or on the wings or guard play. And this year's team, I mean, Stephon Moody last year at least had Jarvis Summers and Snoop White to help him out. But this year's team, there's not a single consistent guy. There's not one in particular that you can go to for a big bucket. Rasheed Brooks has hit a couple big threes in the last few games. But last night he was 0-for-10 from the field, 0-of-8 from three. They started out 0-of-2 from the line before knocking down two late free throws. Tomas Giello, it looks like for a little while that he was going to become a scoring threat, but he's been struggling in the first half, and then Andy Kennedy sort of loses faith in him, and he doesn't see much time going that second half. And there's really not that second scoring option that if Moody misses significant time, there's not a lot of optimism to see in the Ole Miss basketball program, unfortunately, for the rest of the year for any games that he misses. Sam Finley and JT Escobar were brought in and were expected to be, you know, some combo scoring guards to complement Moody, but neither's been very consistent. And as you've seen, Moody made the move to point, and Finley hasn't seen much of the floor, and neither has Escobar since then. So it's like you said, we haven't seen in the Kennedy era, we've seen a primary score, a high-volume score every year, but we haven't seen a year where that primary score didn't have a second option that he could really go to.
Yeah, and that's scary when you start looking at where you're at right now in this point of the season, what you have left in front of you, and the work that you know you've got to get done if you're going to be an NCAA tournament team. This is a basketball team right now that's going in the wrong direction, and my how things change quickly. You know, a week ago, prior to the Florida game, you were really thinking this was going to be a team that was probably going to get into the NCAA tournament and looked as if they had a tremendous home court advantage with the opening of the pavilion, which I still think it can be, but the last two trips out hasn't proven to be enough of a home court advantage, so to speak. And we'll talk to Coolidge about that here in just a little bit when he joins us live on the Rebel Rise Live. And for those of you who don't know a whole lot about Coolidge Ball, well, number one, he was one of the players honored with the opening of the pavilion. That's where his place is in the history of basketball at Ole Miss. Coolidge, and you guys might can hear my co-host here with me this morning. Coolidge is he's a legend. He's been an SEC basketball legend at the men's tournament in Atlanta before. Still lives here locally in Oxford. Scored 1,072 points in his career as a Rebel and 754 rebounds. Native of Indianola, Mississippi. And you know, the funny thing is, Coolidge didn't come to Ole Miss right out of high school. He was recruited to New Mexico State by a couple of New Mexico State assistants back in the early 1970s by the names of Rob Evans and Ed Murphy. And what's ironic about that, both Rob Evans and Ed Murphy go on to become head coaches at Ole Miss, where Coolidge Ball played before either one of them ever got here. So a little bit of an interesting storyline back there. Coolidge also coached at the end of his career. He played after playing at Ole Miss, he coached at Northwest Community College in Senatobia for several seasons. But now he runs a very successful business here in Oxford, Ball Sign Company. And he's just a gentleman by all definitions of the word. So we're excited to have him join us here very, very shortly. And the reason I'm telling you this now is I didn't want to waste our time with Coolidge giving him such a grand introduction when he gets on the air with us in just a little bit. Switching gears real quickly before we get back on the basketball court in just a second. Dave Bevin's got a story up this morning on the front page of Rebels 247 about Chad Kelly and his Heisman odds. Bovada out of Las Vegas giving Kelly 12-1 odds on winning the Heisman Trophy for the 2016 season, which I think pretty darn good odds right there. Dave?
I agree, David. It's very good odds. You know, just less than a month after Ole Miss wins the Sugar Bowl, Chad Kelly's already in that discussion. And you know, realistically, you're thinking, well, what are his realistic chances next season? Well, I mean, obviously, the stats that he performed last year speak for itself. I would, you know, my first view of it, he would have to, you know, equal or better that type of performance. And then, you know, Ole Miss's resume moving forward could also benefit that as well. Two out of the three finalists for the Heisman in 2015 both played for the national championship. Yes, there's been Heisman winners in the past who didn't play in the national championship. And, you know, Kelly has just got to set himself apart inside the SEC next season, continue to be in that picture. You know, last season he became just the third quarterback in SEC history to throw for over 4,000 yards. So, you know, those are the reasons why, you know, he is already getting, you know, seen into that picture.
Well, it certainly should be a lot of fun to watch Chad Kelly playing the football around next spring, this spring, actually. And Shea Patterson, all those mid-year enrollees, they've got orientation in the morning at 7:30 at the Manning Center. So all eight of the early enrollees will be here. And that's going to be a big storyline. I can't recall a year where you had eight high school mid-year enrollees, and to be able to watch those guys and try to deduce who's going to make an early impact with the Ole Miss football program, Michael, that's going to be a lot of fun this spring.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so big to get these kids in the spring, especially when you're at a position like quarterback, like Shea Patterson, or you're an offensive lineman. It pays so many dividends. Like, you look at Javon Patterson last year and how much he benefited from having a spring practice that he could partake in. And so by getting all, I believe you said it's 8 that are coming in early?
That is correct, 8. And you know, the thing of it is, they're all over the field. I mean, there's quarterback, there's linebackers, D-linemen, O-linemen, DBs. So it is going to be fun to see who might make the biggest impact as a true freshman, who might not redshirt. And we've got all that coming up just right here at the end of February. The Rebels will start spring practice. Will be no spring game this year. And that's something that's probably going to be a sore subject with Ole Miss fans, as far as no spring game, to go out and get to see Shea Patterson throw the football. But Hugh Freeze did tell me last week that they will have some sort of grandiose scrimmage, if you will, where the public will be invited to come out. I assume it's going to be on the practice fields. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see 15, 20, 25,000 people gathered around the Ole Miss practice fields at some point this spring, because, you know what, you open it up to the public, they're coming, buddy. They're going to come. They want to see these new guys. They want to see Chad Kelly again. That'll be quite the day, because you won't have the vault available because they're putting natural grass down and they're bowling in the north end zone. So what we're looking at here is a glorified scrimmage that is going to be standing room only for sure.
And David, are you ready for our special guest to come on?
Yeah, let's bring Coolidge Ball on. Excited to have Coolidge. And Coolidge, I'll say this. I've already given you the introduction and read about all your accomplishments at Ole Miss, but the one thing I want to say about you, my dear friend, is that you are a gentleman of the first degree. And you won't meet a nicer guy, a more humble guy, a more respected person than Coolidge Ball. And Coolidge, we are honored to have you on with us this morning.
Thank you. I appreciate the compliments.
Well, Coolidge, your name, your number, hanging inside the pavilion, you were part of the opening ceremonies to christen the new home for the Ole Miss basketball team. Just in your words, somebody who has sweated and someone who has bled for the Ole Miss basketball program, what does it mean to you to see this program move into what is one of the nation's best collegiate arenas after so many years of playing in the Tad Pad, which served as a great home for Ole Miss, but it certainly outlived itself probably in terms of functionality? So what does it mean to you? I mean, what did it mean to you to stand out there and see that crowd and to cut the ribbon and to see where your team is now playing?
David, it's mean the world to me, and I'm still excited about it. I'm still on a high about everything, and it's just a blessing for the university to be able to do something like that. And it was a historic moment, and the new pavilion, I'll tell you what, that just made it so much more special to be able to have a plaque in the front entrance of the new arena in my honor. So, you know, the fans, athletic departments had thought a lot of me to put me out there, so I'm just blessed and thankful and grateful, all wrapped up into one right now.
Yeah, you know, it seems that one of the greatest honors that could be bestowed upon a former player is to have them come back and to say, you know, and to be able to tell them you are such a part of this program that you have to be a part of it moving forward. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about when you were first contacted by Ole Miss about becoming a part of the celebration to open the pavilion, and what your thoughts were when you received that call?
Well, you know, I came here in 1970, I was being recruited in the during the 1970 high school basketball at Gentry High in Indianola, Mississippi, and Coach Kenneth Robin came down to visit me and watch me play, and he liked what he saw, and we got to talking, and we kind of hit it off pretty good, but I just had reservation about Ole Miss at that time, and he invited me up to a game, and I think we came up to see Kentucky play, unofficial visit, and had some friends of mine came with my brother and a couple of friends, and at that time they can introduce players at halftime, and I was introduced at halftime. It's also with another gentleman there from Louisiana. He's a white kid, and I was a minority kid, and I'm just thankful that somebody else was there to be able to be introduced along with me. So I was took that as a measuring stick, what type of ovation I might get from the crowd, and boy, did I get one. They said when they called out my name, read my stats off, Coolidge Ball from the Magnolia State, you know, that was a special moment right there. And I call that my defined moment because, you know, I wasn't really expecting that at the time. And freshman played before the varsity, and those freshman players came by and chatted with me after they finished their game, you know, came out, and it was just a special feeling. It was always in the back of my mind that, you know, this warm ovation that I received from Ole Miss fans, and it's been going ever since then. I didn't come right away. I signed in August, and, you know, the rest was history. I became the first minority scholarship player at the University of Mississippi, and just so happened I played basketball, and you know, I had a great run. I had a great time. So this is very special to me and my family, that what the Ole Miss athletic director Ross Bjork is doing. I think it's phenomenal. And this, you know, to go in to have this arena, it's just special, state-of-the-art arena. I think it's going to really help us in recruiting not only just men's and women's basketball, but I think it's going to help the whole athletic department in having this type of $96.5 million pavilion arena. So it's really a blessing. I'm glad it happened. And, you know, I just feel so grateful to be a part of it. It's just a special moment for me.
Coolidge, when you got to Ole Miss and you were playing here in the early 70s, the Tad Smith Coliseum, was not the old antiquated arena that perhaps a new generation of Ole Miss fans are accustomed to. It was a relatively new facility at that time, between 10 and 15 years old. What is your, is there a particular memory for you, other than the one you just described, when you came here as a recruit, inside the Tad Pad that just sticks out to you? Is there something in there that you'll never forget?
Yeah, the fans, support of the fans. And, you know, when I came here in 1970, I think the new arena was about 5 years old. And it's a special place. We've had some good memories. One of the memories that I have is beating Kentucky for the first time since 37 to 1938, I believe. You know, beating Kentucky, Tennessee, and Alabama all in the same season. That was very special. And I think beating Alabama as they was rated number 4 or 5 in the nation that year. And we beat them in here at home. And it's just a special feeling beating some of the team that Ole Miss has struggled with in the past. And also, you know, actually – you know, I played freshman ball my first year because freshmen had to play freshman basketball then. I think they stopped that in 1973, I think, when Walter Atwood came here. But, you know, playing freshman ball, I averaged about 22 points a game as a freshman. We only lost 2 games and 16.5 rebounds. And, you know, I thought I was good enough to play on the varsity. So some other players were too, but you know, that was the rule. But we went on after my sophomore year. we had three winning season there, so that was special too to have the Ole Miss first three win season, you know, winning season. And that's always special. Captain of the team, you know, team most valuable player for 3 years, varsity. And all of that was just so special. So the Taft had a lot of memories there. And but I think my team, that 72, 73, and 74 team, just kind of, you know, got a jump start on Ole Miss basketball, you know. And, of course, we've struggled over the years, but I think now we've had some success, and I think we're going to have even more success with the new arena now.
That brings me around to my next question, Coolidge. And, you know, the Ole Miss fan base at times, and Michael Quirk wrote an excellent column about this last week on Rebels 247. They run hot and cold on Andy Kennedy. Andy has is the winningest coach in Ole Miss basketball history. He produces winners every year. The guy is a perennial winner. But is there a ceiling there? I mean, and I don't want you to answer that, but what I'd like to know is what's your impression on the job Andy Kennedy has done here with Ole Miss basketball? Because before his arrival, as you just pointed out, the well has been pretty dry. What do you think about the job AK has done with this program over the better part of the last decade?
I think Andy has done a good job. I think he's a great coach, and he's a good motivator. I think what he's done has been great, and we just not getting enough, you know, talent that we need at other positions. So, but I think that's coming. I can see it's coming. I looked at last night game, and you know, we played hard. We just down the stretch there, Moody went out, and we just you know, didn't make the free throw. You make your free throw, you would have won the game. But he played hard. His team played hard, and we played aggressive. We got in the passing lane and intercept some balls and made some basket out of transition basket off of our defense. And I have to think what Andy has done is a great job. And I don't think we ever had any other coach to have that milestone of 200 wins in his career here since he's been here. And Andy has did it faster than any coach in Ole Miss history.
Michael Quirk covers Ole Miss basketball for Rebels 247. I'm going to hand the microphone over to Michael right now. And, Michael, any questions for Coolidge?
Hi, Coolidge. I was
How you doing?
See that there's a – I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Thank you.
I'm seeing a lot of – or as you can see, that there's always a primary scorer in Andy Kennedy's offense. How would you like to play in an offense like that where you could be, you know, sort of a focal point and get a high volume of shots?
Well, I was always fast-paced because I could always run like I did and jump out the gym, so to speak. And it would have been great in that type of offense, you know. And, you know, I was the type of athlete I could play either way. You know, if we had to slow it down, we did. Speed it up. So it wasn't in a problem with me. So, it would have been great playing for a guy like Andy, you know, in that system. I just think we need to, you know, we're getting there. We just got to get some more pieces together around, you know, other athletes, good athletes that we bring in. And I think that's what we're missing a little bit right now. But like I said, the new arena is certainly going to help. I think we've got some commitments already, you know, in the last couple of weeks, and that's rewarding too, and it's coming for men's and women's basketball.
Absolutely. So being the first minority on an athletic scholarship at Ole Miss, what is sort of holding that torch and being that important part of Ole Miss history? What does that mean to you?
You know, when I came out of high school to visit Ole Miss, and I could see that Ole Miss needs some help, you know, at that time. And and like I said, that warm ovation that I received, and I had other scholarship offers, but I asked the Lord to help direct me and you know where would be the best fit for me. So I thank God for giving me the mind to come to Ole Miss, and it's been a great run. And I knew I was going to be the first minority scholarship player here, and you know, I just wanted to put my impact on a program, and I feel like in some ways I did that here at Ole Miss, and now I'm getting rewarded for it. So it's been a great run. It wasn't hard for me. You know, it was pretty much smooth sailing. I had a great time and had a great career here at Ole Miss, not just for basketball, but for, you know, being a student athlete as well.
I'm sorry, Michael. Go ahead. I apologize.
You played in a really interesting time in SEC history. I think that there was some overlap in your career and Bernard King and Ernie Grunfeld at Tennessee. Is there anyone that you played against in particular that sticks out to you?
Anthony, I think it's Cleveland. Charles Cleveland, Leon Douglas from Alabama. I think Ernie and Bernie, they call it Ernie and Bernie at the time in Tennessee. I think they came after me. I think I finished in 74, and I think they signed in the spring of 74. So they were 74 and 75 was their first year there. But they was great players for Tennessee, and I wish I had gotten to play against those guys, but, you know, played against Jim Andrews from Kentucky and some of the good players from Tennessee. I just can't think all of the name right now. Ronnie Hogue from Georgia. He was the first minority scholarship player over there. There were some good players, you know, in the Southeastern Conference then. But I think at the time every school had, you know, had minority players on their team.
Well, I promised Coolidge we wouldn't take up too much of his time, but before we let him go, and Dave Bevan, you may not know this, but I do know this, that Coolidge Ball follows Ole Miss football recruiting very, very closely. So, Coolidge, before we let you go, I just got to ask you, what do you think about this 2016 recruiting class that Hugh Freeze is putting together right now for the Rebels?
Oh, it's going to be unbelievable. Coach Freeze, he came in 4 years ago, I believe, and he's never stopped. He's a tireless worker, and he's built this program, and every year that 2012 was a special class, and we can see the results of, you know, players going pro after their junior year, I believe. The Kim Beaches and then Treadwell and Tonsil. And, you know, it's just been a phenomenal ride. And I give Coach Freeze all the credit and his staff. You know, they've done a great job. And, you know, that's probably a little uncertainty because there was younger coaches and just getting on the, you know, big stage and all. But I'll tell you, they've done a great job. And, you know, people ask me, they say, Coolidge, why you know so much about football? He said, you're a basketball man. Basketball man. I said, well, you know, basketball, you only got 13 players or 14, 15. And I said, you know, football is a lot easier to talk about because it's got more players. And I'm just pleased with it. And I'm pleased with what Coach Freeze is doing. I think this class, we've got pieces that we need in this class this time. And we're just going to add to it. And I'm just so tickled and thankful as I was sitting, talking, I mean, listening to you guys before I came on. You know, he was talking about 8 early enrollees this year. And that's very special because if you can get kids coming here in January and go through the process and spring practice, you know, they just have an edge. You know, it's a lot more mature stage for them, you know, to come through and get that experience early instead of waiting until August to get here, you know, end of the summer. So it's a special time. So my hat's off to Coach Freeze and his staff. And if any way that I can help him, you know, I want to do that. Any part of the program, like I talking to Ross, you know, like last year when I was recognized for this honor here at the Tat Pad, and that was so special. And, you know, I told him that you know, I think that he was getting coaches with a good resume, and I said, that's going to make the difference. When, once you get coaches with good resume, you got to give yourself a better chance, you know, of succeeding. So that's what Ross is doing, and I do appreciate that. And Ross could tell you, he said, well, I can see that you know what you talk about, and you know sports. So it's just a blessing. I'm just excited to be in Oxford and living here, my family. And we all are just excited, and we thank for Ole Miss for what they have done so far. And, you know, anytime I can help, I'm willing to, you know, do that.
Coolidge, you mentioned you're still here in Oxford. You have a very successful sign business, and your company has done work for us for our summertime combines and everything, and it's incredible work. And I just want to thank you for your fine friendship, and thank you for being a part of Rebels 247. And we'd love to see that Kool-Aid moniker up posting on the board a little bit. I think everybody will know who it is. If you see Kool-Aid posting, it's Coolidge Ball, because that was his nickname, still is his nickname. I'm not going to call him Kool-Aid out of respect. You're older than me, Coolidge. You're Coolidge or Mr. Ball to me. And
there's no problem with that. You know, I got that name in high school, and one of my classmates, they were just taunting around and said, you know, they think every great player has to have a name, Kool-Aid, and it came from Coolidge, Kool-Aid. They just kept playing with it, and it's a nickname that stuck with, and I think it's pretty cool, and I like it. And when I got here at Ole Miss, and my coaches told me, they said, what is your nickname? And we got to get you a nickname. And I said, I don't have one, just like that. And they was coming up with Andy Nolan Jumpin' Jack or something like that. I said, oh, my goodness, you know, that's terrible. You know, and then I told them my nickname, and it just took off like that. And it was pretty special when some of my old fans say, hey, Kool-Aid, you know. I said, boy, that's somebody that has to know me, because, you know, this younger generation don't call me that. But it's fitting for me, and I like it.
Well, you mentioned earlier, too, you're out of a high school program that's one of the finest when it comes to basketball success in the state of Mississippi, and that's Gentry High School in Indianola. And those Rams over there, Coolidge, they're still prone to get it done every now and then. They're still playing good basketball at Gentry.
Yeah, they are. We, you know, some years is better than others, but, you know, a few years back when we was really rolling, you know, we had some, you know, tall giants there, and we try to recruit some here. But Gentry is just a special place, and they love their sports there at Gentry. They're very passionate about it, and they travel well. They really do. They travel well, and I'm just so excited. I'd like to get back down to see some more games, but right now I want to cheer the Rebels on.
Well, Coolidge, we thank you so much for joining us this morning and being so gracious with your time. And as always, it's been a pleasure talking to you, dear friend. And we'll be looking for you on the message boards, as I know you're going to be following closely leading up to National Signing Day. And we'd love to have you back on again if you'd be willing to do that at some point.
Anytime. Just when you have me on, just give me a call, and I'll be glad to talk to you guys. Just a shout-out to the Rebel Nation, and howdy-toddy to you.
Thank you, Coolidge. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Coolidge Ball. I tell you what, when it comes to all-time Ole Miss greats, he is right up there at the top of my list. Michael, Dave, I mean, as I told you, just the quintessential gentleman, and you know, still a great ambassador for Ole Miss basketball. 40-plus years after he played his final game, he's still he has yet to turn loose of the chain in terms of representing that Ole Miss basketball program.
In his comments to the question, I noticed where, you know, the building of the pavilion you know, he sees the success for the future of the program. So, it's really nice to see that former athlete just seeing that success for the future and just enjoying everything as it unfolds.
Michael, it seemed Coolidge had the same take as you on this Ole Miss basketball team, as Moody needs some help in the scoring column.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to get someone like Coolidge's take on all that. And you said that he's a great ambassador for Ole Miss basketball. He's a good ambassador for Ole Miss recruiting. He definitely knows his stuff.
Absolutely, and a great ambassador for the University of Mississippi. And he occupies a special place in the history of Ole Miss. And he is truly a diamond for Rebel Nation. As you know, as you can just see, I mean, and feel his love for the university as you listen to Coolidge recount his days here as a player and his hope for the future of the Ole Miss basketball program. And we certainly appreciate having him on. Okay, we're not immune to the fact, we haven't forgotten that it's 2 weeks from today to National Signing Day. And boy, are there a lot of things in motion. And before we leave on this podcast, we're going to talk a little bit of recruiting. Who we feel good about, who we feel iffy about, who we do not feel good about at all. And we'll kind of do this round table style. I'll throw the name out, then we'll go to Michael, and then Dave weigh in on each of these names. And we'll all three just kind of give you our opinion, and maybe they're different opinions. We'll see on where some of these top prospects are going to end up. And we'll start this with newly minted five-star defensive end Jeffrey Simmons out of Noxubee County, Mississippi. Here's my take on Jeffrey. Jeffrey, I believe, is going to be an Ole Miss Rebel. Now, he's going to take an official to Alabama this weekend, come home, then take an official to Ole Miss on the final weekend before signing day. For months now, my intel has told me Jeffrey Simmons is going to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is out front for him. With that said, I expect the last 72, 96 hours of his recruitment to absolutely be a show. I think it's going to hinge and bend back and forth on every single hour. I think it's going to come down to Ole Miss and Mississippi State. I expect Mississippi State is going to push as hard as they possibly can. But for me, I think on signing day, Jeffrey Simmons is a Rebel. Michael, go.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. I know that he's been keeping Alabama and Tennessee in the mix, but I think this is an in-state battle, and I think Ole Miss has the upper hand here. He has a lot more help in Oxford, and you have an elite D-line coach like Chris Kiffin. I just see this one. There's going to be a lot of drama at the end of his recruitment, and it's going to be a lot of social media monitoring toward that the first few days of February, but I think in the end he'll link with the Rebels.
And to add on my take with Simmons, why I think it would, agreeing to both of y'all, how I believe it would be Ole Miss and Mississippi State, the two finalists down the stretch, is Simmons. If you go back and look at it, he has taken a lot of pride in representing Mississippi, the state of Mississippi. And you look at, you know, the All-Star game, you know, he took a lot of pride in representing the state of Mississippi. So that's why, you know, my gut feeling is it's going to come down to the two top in-state schools. And I agree, you know, it's going to be, you know, down to the wire. There's going to be a lot of excitement heading into this National Signing Day decision. But like all three of y'all, I believe in the end, Simmons will be a Rebel.
Okay. I'm going to group the rest of these in-state uncommitted targets into one here. A.J. Brown, Kobe Jones, Nigel Knott, Raekwon Davis. Here's my opinion as it stands today. Subject to change, but as of right now, Ole Miss gets none of those guys. That's where I'm at right now. A.J. Brown, Bama or Mississippi State? Kobe Jones, Mississippi State. Raekwon Davis, Lord knows if he is going to stay committed to Alabama, flip to Mississippi State after the Twitter drama on Sunday. I don't know. Raekwon Davis will not be an Ole Miss Rebel. Nigel Knott, I'm beginning to just kind of feel in my bones a little bit that he's going to end up at Mississippi State. Ole Miss does have a last on-campus shot with him on the weekend of the 29th, but my take on that group, none of them end up being an Ole Miss Rebel. Michael, go.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. Kobe Jones, I don't see any other school for him other than Mississippi State. A.J. Brown, I feel like they're going to do everything they can to keep A.J. Brown in Starkville, and I think that he will end up staying there. And if not, I'd say there's some chance of him winding up at Bama. Raekwon Davis, I think he'll sign with Mississippi State. And they said that there's been some confidence down there that they can get him eligible to enroll in classes in August. But I'm not privy to his exact academic stance, but I think he'll sign with Mississippi State, and then it remains to be seen whether he will be a Bulldog this fall or if he's going to go to junior college for a couple of years. And then Nigel Knott is going to be a very wild one to follow, whether it's Oregon or Alabama or Florida State, Mississippi State, Ole Miss. I don't have a good vibe about him being a Rebel. I think that Ole Miss will only get one more player in the state of Mississippi to join the commitment list. I think it'll be Simmons. I don't really see much of a chance for any of the others.
In my perspective, I believe Kobe Jones, Raekwon Davis, ultimately in the end, how I see it, I think they become Bulldogs. Nigel Knott, as y'all both mentioned, his recruitment through the whole process has been one to hard to figure out. One minute you're thinking it could possibly be somewhere out of state, even possibly as far as Oregon. Bama has stayed in that mix. I could see him, you know, if he were to go out of state, I think it would be something like Bama. And A.J. Brown, I think also if he decides to get out of Starkville, it's going to be to Alabama. He obviously had a good official visit over there. And, you know, I have A.J. crystal ball to Alabama. And the reasoning behind that is just from my gut feeling, I see that, you know, there is that tendency of possibly wanting to go to get outside of Starkville. And I've noticed that some Alabama insiders on the site have also joined into that prediction as well.
Yesterday afternoon, I flipped my crystal ball on Rashawn Gary to Michigan. There's a couple of reasons that I did that, but kind of the sum of all of them was the final impetus. Let me preface this by saying I'm not saying Ole Miss is out of it for Rashawn Gary by any stretch of the imagination, but right now, to me, the complexion of things is that Rashawn Gary is likely headed to Michigan. A couple of things have transpired this week. Number one, we find out that he is, in fact, going to Michigan this weekend for an unofficial visit on his own dime. Now, that is a big-time indicator right there. Secondly, Ole Miss up to see Rashawn Gary earlier this week, and they did see Rashawn Gary. But his mother, Jennifer Coney, unable to see Ole Miss while they were in town. To me, that is a sign. But the biggest thing to me is the fact that he's going back up to Michigan this weekend on an unofficial visit, which means he's buying his own gas, he's buying his own food, he's paying for his own hotel room because he's already taken his official to Michigan, and I think that speaks volume. So Rashawn Gary, that's where I'm at, guys, today. I might be somewhere else tomorrow. Remember, the ground shuffles a lot this time of the year, sometimes hour by hour. But there was enough overwhelming intel and evidence for me yesterday to go ahead and move Rashawn Gary into the Michigan column for my crystal ball, and I saw that shortly after someone else did as well. So he is trending heavily for Michigan right now. We'll monitor it. We'll see what happens. We won't know until National Signing Day for sure what he's going to do, and it's 2 weeks away. I do believe it's still Ole Miss and Michigan. I don't think USC is in it as much as some reports are indicating. But right now I just think Michigan is out front. Mieke Juarez headed to Alabama for his official this weekend. Another one of those mystifying finishes that we're in store for here. Will he pick an SEC school such as Ole Miss or Alabama? Or in the end, does he simply stay home in the Los Angeles area and go to UCLA? That is something else that we are charting. And as always, you can keep up with everything on the Rebel Rise, on the message board, inside the Shark Tank throughout the day. And generally speaking, this time of the year, by the end of the day, there are 30 to 45 nuggets of information on there, pertinent information if you're following Ole Miss recruiting. The Rebels are expected to see a couple of linebackers today not named Mieke Juarez. Jaquan Ewley, the former Alabama commit, and Keith Sims out of Bethesda, Maryland. Now, that's not an indicator that they don't feel good about Mieke Juarez, because as I told you last week, they're likely going to add two more linebackers to this class if it's the right two. And the right two being Mieke Juarez plus one. So we'll just have to kind of see how all of that plays out down the stretch run. And, folks, we are in it. It is Wednesday, January 20th. We are 2 weeks away from National Signing Day. And I get asked this question a lot, guys, and I really don't have an answer for it. When and who will be the next commit? This time of the year, look, the bomb can go off at any second. But one thing I'll say is that Ole Miss is in on some big-time prospects, and a lot of the final pieces of this recruiting class will not be put into place until National Signing Day, because what do you know? Rashawn Gary is a National Signing Day decision. Mieke Juarez is a National Signing Day decision. Jeffrey Simmons is a National Signing Day decision. Almost all of these guys are National Signing Day decisions. The two guys that I feel the best about joining this 2016 Ole Miss class, I haven't changed on that at all. Deontay Anderson, four-star safety out of Manville, Texas. And Michael Jones, the four-star wide receiver out of Patterson, Louisiana. Still hearing very, very, very good things about those guys and the probability that they will join this Ole Miss class. So I would encourage you to click early, often, and late on the Rebel Rise for the next 2 weeks. It'll be up every single day down this two-week stretch, as it has been for the last 2 weeks, as we aim to not let you miss a beat of all of this drama and entertainment of high importance on the Rebels' run to National Signing Day. Okay, it's time for closing thoughts. Dave, we'll go to you first.
Only thing I want to add into my closing thoughts for today is just thanking all of the subscribers to the site, just going through the live chats and everything, and then reading through the message boards. I'm noticing a lot of new subscribers to the site, so I really want to thank all of our veterans of the message board and all of our new subscribers for choosing Rebels 247. And as you mentioned, David, buckle your seatbelt because we're just 2 weeks away. Get ready for the ride, and that's National Signing Day.
Michael, your closing thoughts.
I'd like to piggyback off Dave and welcome all the new subscribers and also show my appreciation for all those who have stuck with us for long periods of time, months and years and what have you. And we know that you have, you know, other options for Ole Miss sports and recruiting coverage. And I really appreciate you choosing us and sticking with us. And we have a lot of exciting stuff coming up. There's a lot of new things we're going to be adding. It's going to be an exciting time for 247 and, And also, it's, of course, an exciting time for Ole Miss with football recruiting and with the basketball season underway and baseball season quickly approaching. And, yeah, and we really appreciate y'all being with us and procrastinating at work or what have you.
And, of course, I echo those sentiments. It's been a wonderful last couple of weeks for us at Rebels 247. As 2 weeks ago, we finished number 5 nationally in the network in terms of new subscribers, and last week number 6 nationally in the network with new subscribers. And we do want to issue a warm welcome to all of you. And I know sometimes when you enter a new forum like that, you do that first post on a message board, and there's some meanies that come out and then kind of want to try to rough you up or haze you, so to speak. We don't have that at Rebels 247, so post away. We want all of our new subscribers to engage in our dynamic online community, and we will welcome you with warmth and a whole lot of hottie totty. So that's going to do it for us today. We appreciate Coolidge Ball giving us the time. We're working on having a special guest for you tomorrow as well, and we'll announce that a little bit later once that is cemented in. But it's time for this podcast to draw to a close. We appreciate your time in listening to Rebel Rise Live. For Dave Bevan and Michael Quirk, I'm David Johnson. Hotty toddy.